I would like you this morning, as never before, as I am with Pastor Meggers, your spiritual leader, I'd like you to take me seriously this morning. We're going to talk about some serious things on this opening weekend of summer vacation, where some of you may in fact even go to places like Disney World or Silver Dollar City, the Disney World of Missouri. I want you to take me seriously. I want you to take me seriously because whenever we go on vacations, we often think of vacations as an opportunity to rest from all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing on a day-to-day basis. I want you to take me seriously this morning because what I'd like you to do is this. While you may take some time off this summer and you may put on the artificial dress of our culture to go and have a retreat and escape to some great place, a lake, a boat, an amusement park, I'd like you to commit this morning with me that if you're going to do that, that you take one of the gloves off. So that you remember, God wants us to find rest in Him, to enjoy the beauty of His creation, to find time away from the regular rhythms of life, to do some things that are humanly silly and fun or fantastic. But at the same time, remembering life is not just even only for a week about this side of your body. Life is also about this side. That is to say, the regular hands and feet and mouths and lives that we live, the regular relationships we live with other human beings. If you're going to take a vacation this year, I'd ask and invite you to reframe and reword what it is that you're actually doing. And that word, not just for today, but for the summer, is the word mission-cation. That as you go out, you would take a mission-cation. I think about that because on this past Friday night, I had the joy of being with my wife's work family at a mystery dinner at the Lemp Mansion. It was a pirate mystery dinner. And everyone was given cards. And as I got one of the cards, it said, "You are a pirate." Then the second line said, "You are not a normal pirate." I turned to everybody and I said, "Why do I get the not normal pirate card? And everybody else gets to be a normal pirate." I share that only with you to say we were out that night. And as we went into the Venice Cafe down by Lemp Mansion in order to gather with everybody prior to the meal, as I was walking in, I overheard a conversation, a rather loud conversation, if you catch my drift, of three people talking about God and religion. And as I walked in there, I thought to myself, what should I do with this? They're clearly talking loudly, and I clearly am a Christian and a pastor. And so I stopped by the table, I introduced myself, I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Scott Seidler, I serve a church out in the burbs," and I said, "I just wanted to encourage you to keep on talking about God and sharing what faith really matters and means." And then I went and had some dinner and whatnot with the work friends, but it was one of those moments where, while on the one side I had on my rest and relaxation dress, costume, on the other side, I was still a child of God that was not living an accidental life, that rubbed shoulders with people who were talking clearly about the faith and were at a moment of maybe some significant movement in who they were as spiritual beings. And without overimposing myself, I felt the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, bump my heart to say, "Why don't you just go and say hi?" and maybe show them that they are not alone and that there are others in this world who share the name of God and maybe even the Lord Jesus Christ with them. My goal for this morning's message is to nudge you a little bit to take the chances with me, to respond to the opportunities that pop up before your eyes. Didn't have any idea what kind of conversation I was going to have before I went into that Venice cafe. But you have the opportunity to respond. Today I want to invite you to take seriously the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If there is a consequence of reading through the book of Acts in the Holy Bible, it is that there were 12 apostles and Paul, 13, and the Holy Spirit, 14. And as real as the first 13 were to one another, the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ was equally real, equally consequential, equally active on a moment-by-moment basis. In fact, you can't read through the book of Acts and not realize that it was as if around the campfire there were the 13 apostles and the Holy Spirit. And they were talking to that Holy Spirit. They were in supernatural, immediate conversation with that Holy Spirit in ways that are simply jarring for people like you and I in this American culture who lead, generally speaking, pretty predictable, pretty mechanical kinds of spiritual lives. I'll at least speak for myself as I live within the organized church, in the institution of a denomination. Are you hearing all of this structure? As we live within the context of all of this framed doctrine and teaching and history, as we live with all of that structure, which can be a very great thing, one of the greatest dangers we face is that we lose sight of the fact that God, before there was any structure to the church, before there were any dogmatic textbooks or historical theologies being taught in the seminaries and divinity schools of Christianity, before there was any of that, there was this one sentence from Scripture: the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. There was the 12 apostles plus Paul and the Holy Spirit. Have mission, will travel. That's all they had. And man, did they go. And as I read through the book of Acts, as I see this section of Scripture from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God in a supernatural, miraculous way comes on top of the disciples as tongues of fire so that they may speak and witness the message of the gospel wherever they are led. As I read that, my prayer for this Christian, dear God, make me more sensitive, more aware of the presence, prodding, poking of the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Help me get up each and every day and realize that every moment of that day is by no means an accident. In some mysterious and supernatural way, as we read through the book of Acts, we come to realize that God has designed history according to his perfect will. Call it predestination, call it election, call it fate, call it whatever you want to call it. But again, in some way that does not deprive me of the human dignity and choice that God has woven into the fabric of my being, in your being, without depriving us of that dignity of being agents of our wills, making choices. God has still put over history a shroud, a covering of his divine will. And in that divine will, we know that there is never an accidental interaction with any other human being. There is never a time where the Holy Spirit of God is caught by surprise. There is never a time where God's design for my life and for the life of the person that I'm talking to has not been established before the foundation of the world. Supernatural, mysterious, miraculous. Let me give you three things that come out of the book of Acts in repeated fashion. The first is the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that a little bit this morning. The Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ is active. He is leading and pulling the apostles. When they are confused, he is speaking a word of insight. He is clarifying their thinking. When they are afraid, the Holy Spirit of God prepares them to face whatever it is that may come their way. In fact, at the end of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21, Paul was going up to Jerusalem. This is after a number of missionary journeys, founding a number of Christian congregations in cities and towns across the Mediterranean Sea. And as Paul was going to Jerusalem in order to stand trial, he speaks these words, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart?" he says to his fellow Christians. Paul goes on, "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when the fellow Christians found that Paul was not going to be dissuaded from going to Jerusalem and facing trial, they said these words, "The Lord's will be done." They essentially mimicked the Lord's Prayer, said, "Lord, let your will be done." Brings me to say the two other pieces of the book of Acts, in addition to the reality of the Holy Spirit, and that is, at the center of the heart of this Holy Spirit is this phrase, and I want you to say it with me, "The name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Say that with me, would you? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of an awkward phrase. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, not Jesus, not our Savior, but in the book of Acts, repeatedly, there is this statement that the church lives in order to elevate, quote, "the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It reminds me that Jesus was a human being and at the same time was the Son of God. In other words, that he had a name that was given to him by his daddy and his mama, and that he lived miraculously, supernaturally, in time. He did miracles among us. And at the core of the Christian witness in the book of Acts is the confidence that we are a historical faith. We live in view of God entering in a human body, our time, our space. And so it wasn't enough just to lift up this conceptual person or this abstract idea of a God-man. But for the Christian church, it was essential that they tie that concept, that idea, to the actual name which was given to him when he took his first breath and breathed his first cry. The Spirit of the risen Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and finally, the will of God that leads us and leads the early church and also us through every moment of our lives. That when you go on vacation this year, and if you're in the Ozarks, if you're on a boat and you bump up next to someone on a dock, or you find yourself in line with someone waiting to go on a ride, that you would remember that that someone standing next to you is not an accident. And that would carry over into other areas of your life. The waiter or waitress that is waiting on your table, not an accident. The police officer that pulls you over, not an accident. That you would remember that nothing happens outside of God's willing it to be. And I know that may cause us all kinds of intellectual gymnastics. I get that. I struggle with that as well. But what I want to simply say is, taken at face value, the book of Acts, in this moment where from the human point of view, these people didn't know what was going to happen next. The apostles, the prophets, those that were there in the early Christian church, they had no idea what was going on, but they had the confidence that God knew. That God knew what was going to happen. And because the loving God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going to happen, everything was going to be okay. One of the things I like to often mention, especially to seminarians who will talk to me about, you know, how do you deal with the anxiety of knowing that you have a message? How do you even go to sleep at night? Knowing that there are people that are dying every day apart from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the answer, you have the remedy by which to restore them to the relationship that they ought to have with their Creator. How do you get past the anxiety of that responsibility? And my answer is, well, I don't know, but here's what I know. Apparently, Paul fell asleep every once in a while, and so did Peter and John. And they did that because they rested in the knowledge that God was in control of history. He was in control of kings and presidents. He was in control of culture and media stars. God never, ever gave away control of the world He created in the first place. And for that reason, the early church could rest knowing that God had their back, knowing that everything would be okay. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what does it mean to take the Holy Spirit seriously? The Holy Spirit of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you take Him seriously. It means that you see Him as a constant companion, like that sign that is in so many homes. He is the silent listener in every conversation. He is the unseen guest at every meal. And that not as a way to put you under the thumb of His condemnation, but to give you the reassurance and the affirmation that what you are doing in this life is nothing less than supernatural, miraculous, each and every moment you live. And that you should live in such confidence, no matter how young or how old. No matter how predictable or uncertain the days of your life are, whether you are on fixed income or you are living on commission, it doesn't matter. The Spirit of God is your fixed income. The Spirit of God is your predictability. The Spirit of God leads you through every age and season of your life, and you are no accident. Amen.